Michael commentary. So the very last recording you listened to in episode 9 is the recording where I muster up all the courage to say, Lisa, this is going to be the most shocking thing you've ever heard in your life. And I tell her that God has confirmed for me that she is the one he has chosen to be my wife. Now that recording is dated by my audio recorder as April 21st, 2021. And the time on that recording when I hit record was 9:40 a.m. Now this very next recording you're going to hear is exactly 3.5 hours to the minute later. It's actually 3 hours and 32 minutes later, but you'll hear me mention that I had just seen 1:10. The time was 1:10, which is what prompted me to make this recording. That is exactly 3.5 hours after I've sent this recording, and I began to mention this 1:10 number. And for those of you who had walked through the I Will Come Forth as Gold series, you'll hear that God will use this number 1:10 with me multiple times, of letting me know in advance that in 3 days' time, something's going to happen. It's incredibly accurate, very prophetic, even down to the telling me regarding when P's visa would arrive. You guys perhaps remember that, where I had been given these dates, 2/11 and 2/12, and God hits both of those dates with a remarkable evidence that he alone could have done this, and we get this kind of miraculous visa thing that happens for P. And God had told me in advance, showing me this Joshua 1:10, which says this: So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Now, you'll hear me mention in this recording, I had seen 1:10 3 days earlier. And I thought, well, Lord, you know, what are you telling me here? Is this like, you know, are you telling me 3 days from now? Or are you reminding me that I'm standing on day three? Well, brothers and sisters, it's actually both and. Because unknown to me, 3.5 hours after I've made this recording to Lisa, you'll hear me in this next recording conjecturing, well, you know, maybe it's going to be 3 days until I hear back from Lisa. She doesn't always get back to me so quickly. So maybe the Lord's telling me, just hold on, Tiger. 3 days, I've given you the desires of your heart. No, he's actually telling me I'm standing in day three. I'm getting ready to cross over. And as you continue on in this recording, you're going to hear that Lisa replies to me for the first time almost immediately. It is incredible. Now, the other thing that's amazing is if you pay attention, 3 days from today in this recording, which is the 21st of April, there's going to be something very, very big and significant. We'll call it an obstacle. And there's going to be another huge blessing that Lisa is going to have 3 days from now. So just bear in mind that as we move forward. And now I'm going to throw you right into the recordings. And this is the part where it gets just so incredibly exciting to me as I think. And now, of course, I'm cheating because I know the rest of the story. I know how it rolls out, and I know how Lisa replies to me. It's incredible, and we're just amazed. I want to tell you also, I'll let the cat out of the bag, if you will. My amazing wife and I have been so praying every single day. She's been so diligent to pray with me about this and doing her own praying about God leading her to be involved in this testimony, to share her heart, her testimony, because she has multiple facets of God's grace and represents some of his faithfulness in ways that I do not. She's a woman, and she's had a very different experience than I have. And so this has been a call and a desire that the Lord's been warming up in her heart for some time, and she just didn't know what it would look like, how she would serve the Lord. I have been very apprehensive about it. I've kept my hands very much off of this. I've not really encouraged her in any way in this until it became obvious that God began to show us the same exact scriptures independent of one another multiple times, repeatedly showing us that he would want us to do this. So right now, we're still reflecting on what that's going to look like. But ultimately, you should expect that in due time, you're going to get to hear the voice of my amazing God-given wife, and you'll get to hear her heart. So have a listen to this. It's really important. Stick with this story and watch this God, because this God desires to work in everybody's life like this. He really does. It's just like when Jesus went to Nazareth, he couldn't do very many miracles there because the people had no faith. And God can't do big things in your life if you don't have faith, if you don't believe him for the impossible. If you don't believe God is big, you're never going to see a big God. So may the Lord God Almighty bless you not to just hear how big our God is vicariously through my life and Lisa's life, but that you would also continue to hope for, believe for, see this big God in your life. In Jesus' name, may it be. But it's up to you. If anyone chooses to do God's will, part of which is to have tremendous faith in his tremendous power, that person will find out. End of commentary. And don't forget, the Joshua 1:10 is the reference to the 1:10 here. And remember, I'm standing on day 3 since I first saw it. And then you're going to hear another incredible thing that happens 3 days from now on the 24th. God bless you as you listen. Oh my goodness, this is crazy. I'm sitting here cracking up. Oh, I'm sitting here cracking up. I am literally in the middle of nowhere out in Louisiana. I'm like in the middle of the bayou, it feels like. I'm on this little state road. There's just miles and miles and miles of nothingness. I looked at the time and it's 1:10. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, was that like 3 days ago when I saw the 1:10 and I didn't say anything, meaning in 3 days you'd cross over? And here I realized today the Lord has made me have this recording sent to Lisa on the 7th day after we talk. And I'm looking at this 1:10 and I'm going, oh Lord, what does that mean anything? You know, like, are you saying that like in 3 days I'll hear back from? I was just thinking about it. I'm like, I don't want to ignore it and treat it with contempt. I'm like, does that mean something? Like, does that mean it'll take 3 days for Lisa to get back to me? And literally why I'm having this thought, I'm looking at this little street sign, road sign. I almost was tempted to stop and take a picture of it, but I'm flying 65 miles an hour and I'm out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, there's no houses, nothing. And it says 3:12. It looked like it was spray painted. It looks like a little tiny like road sign, but it was just like spray painted. 3:12. As I was literally thinking, like, God, are you telling me in 3 days, you know, that I'm going to hear? And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised about that because Lisa does not always get back to me, you know, right away. It's usually several days before she gets back to me. And I just thought, wow, I mean, what an incredible blessing that will be. So anyhow, I couldn't help but to capture that. That is pretty remarkable. Okay, so I think my head is getting ready to blow off. I probably should not be making this recording right now. God help me in Jesus' name. I am in the middle of absolutely nowhere in Louisiana. I'm in the middle of the state of Louisiana and there is nothing out here. I mean, it's incredible. And suddenly I've run into some traffic here backed up, so I gotta be careful, but this is unreal. You talk about surreal. I don't know whether to cry or to shout or to pinch me and wake me up. Right now, it is 1:21 p.m. on my phone. I'm sorry, 1:22 right now it changes to on my car, which I just mentioned this morning. A good man obtains favor from the Lord. Okay. This is absolutely unbelievably amazing and yet so believably wonderful. Oh my goodness, God is so amazing. As if I didn't already know this. Okay, so I just made the recording about the 1:10. You know, something's going to happen in 3 days. Like, you know, that you're getting ready to cross over. Like, I have seen 4:22 so many times today. And 2:12 so many times today. Today, it's unreal. You cannot imagine this. You cannot imagine that God is not doing this. I get one message coming here. The numbers all point to a message, a certain message. Now, I have not seen the first 5:12 all day today. And yet that's what I was seeing, that and, you know, do this, move forward, break your peace, get your peace, all of these things. I'm not seeing any of those numbers on the way home. On the way home, it's nothing but I have granted you the desire of your heart. Right now, 455, secured and arranged in every part, 912, I'm going to restore to you double. I think I've seen 212 at least five or six times. Now tell me this isn't a miracle. It was 117 on my clock, which is that 1 Samuel 117, go in peace and may God grant you what you've asked of him, which I've already seen a couple of times today. I saw the 848 go in peace. I made the recording. God told me in advance, send the recording. You're not going to be put to shame. Step in faith. It will be to you according to your faith. And God is like pushing me to do this. And so I'm like, God, okay, I'm going to do this. It's 117. There's a 555 right now that just passed me. 117 on the time. And in the middle of nowhere, I'm talking nowhere, no signs, sign on the road, mile marker, 117. At the literally like count 3 seconds. See 117 on your clock. Look up there. There's no houses. There's no people. There's no cars. There's no nothing. 3 seconds later, sign in the middle of nowhere, 117. Go in peace. So I see this, you know, 110, and I'm sitting here talking about, okay, God, are you telling me like in 3 days something, you know, wonderful is going to happen? I'm going to cross over in 3 days. I mean, what is that? Literally, within seconds of me sitting there talking about that, I look up and there's a hand-painted road sign, again, out in the middle of nowhere. 3:212. It's like 3 days, which is the Joshua 1:10. Get yourself ready. In 3 days, you're about to cross over. Incidentally, I saw the 10:17 again today. I told Jared and them about it, about pack up your belongings and prepare to leave the land. Here comes an ambulance. He's probably coming after me because I'm getting ready to have a heart attack. He probably knows about it in advance. And so I'm going to let this guy pass. Literally, you can hear this. How appropriate. I'm out in the middle of, you know, country roads. Here comes an ambulance. And so 212. I'm not even kidding you. On the back of this ambulance. Oh my goodness. And I cannot get my camera out fast enough to take the picture of this. Oh man. And I don't want to speed to get this guy. This is unbelievable. The ambulance license plate is 212. Oh my goodness gracious. I don't want to do anything against the law. But if I could capture that 212, oh my goodness. That is crazy. I got to be so careful. I should not be doing this. What if I digitally zoom a little bit? I don't know if you can capture that or not. Oh my goodness gracious, I don't know. Wow. Man, how amazing is that? A Louisiana, God almighty, you're just incredible. A Louisiana ambulance passes me, license plate 212. While I'm sitting here talking about this, that's time number 7 at least today. This is just so incredible. While I'm making the recording to Lisa, I pull up to a stoplight and this giant tanker truck pulls up in the right, T-212, while I'm making the recording. At another point in the recording, I come up to Texas Farm Road 777 while I'm making the recording to her at a certain part. So it's become so obvious that God is showing me, this is it. I have done this. He's giving me so much evidence so that I can walk into this with so much confidence. And here it is. Last night, I told Jared and Kristen, I said, guys, look at this. This other 10:17 God is showing me, I believe is Jeremiah. I think it's Jeremiah off the top of my head, 10:17. Pack up your belongings and prepare to leave the land. Now you cannot even imagine. I mean, what are the chances that, you know, I'm going to reach out to a woman the day after I put this video out on YouTube and say, God has told me you're my wife. I know this sounds absolutely ridiculous. You're just going to have to pray and talk to God about this and find out if I'm either a kook or if this is for real. So this 10:17 I see again this morning and I'm going, Lord, are you really telling me to start packing up my belongings and prepare to leave the land? I mean, this is extraordinary. No matter how much faith I have, these things never cease to make me just put my jaw on the floor in amazement at our God, okay? So God tells me all this in advance. And I have had such peace. This is the most excited I've been all day. I've had just a river of peace that can only be the grace of God. So many times I look down, 212 on my odometer in some way, or this, that, and the other. I mean, it's like all day long, hey, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to bless you double. God, it is incredible. It is incredible. It is incredible. So I'm driving along, whatever time it was when I just got this email. To my amazement, Lisa wakes up and gets my message. And she has already emailed me back. And I'm going, are you kidding me? I expected I would not hear from her for at least 3 days or so. And then took the time to write me, which is already so difficult for her, to write me back a reply, so kind, knowing I've put my heart out there. And the response I'm getting from her is shocking. It's absolutely shocking. I now know this woman is going to be my wife. I don't even want to share her words because it feels like they're sacred at this point. But she said that she knew ever since we had that Skype call that something happened in her heart and she has not been able to shake it since. And she point blank said that she knew that she would be hearing from me after that video went up. She said, I know that I will be hearing from Michael after this video went up. And she said, I bet it will be in the early morning hours. And she said, sure enough, I woke up to your email. And this is incredible. And she said that she is totally shocked, but totally not surprised. And she said that she was so really kind of confused because of the purse's promise, and she couldn't reconcile that with what she had been feeling in her heart all week long after we had this Skype call. She wasn't able to reconcile that because of this promise I have for purses. So when she sees this video go up on YouTube, and I have not talked to her at all since we had the Skype call, she said, then her mind is blown. Oh, plus all the sightings of 171. Now is the time. I've taken unbelievable how many times I saw 171. Now is the time. So it's like I just had so much confirmation from the Father. Praise the Lord God Almighty. This woman, she said, you're probably going to want to hear my story too. She says, we need to have another Skype and have our big talk. She says, I'm definitely going to keep praying about this. She said, but, you know, it feels like I've just been in the wilderness so long and I'm getting ready to be catapulted out of it. And she said, crikey. I guess that means like, that's like a Australian, New Zealand term that just means, oh my gosh. So it was so funny to see the word crikey in her email. I'm like, I've only ever heard Australians use that word. So this is incredible. I mean, this is incredible. Oh my goodness gracious. My heart is going to explode. Wow. Wow, my heart is going to explode. My God has given me a wife one day after. Oh my goodness, I can't even believe I'm saying it.
Wow, I can't believe I'm saying it. This is amazing. I mean, like, all I can do is to not call Jared right now and say, brother, I don't care if you're in the middle of a meeting. You got to hear this. This is an emergency. Tell your boss or call him back. Tell him a water pipe just busted. Oh, man. I looked at this email and I'm like, are you kidding me? I've had 5.5 hours of sleep. I'm having to drive 16 hours today. This is going to be the longest I've ever driven in my entire life. And to drive 9 or 10 hours, I'm usually exhausted. I'm having to drive 16 hours home. And there is no way I'm going to be able to get tired now. It's like God had her wake up, hear my email come in somehow, and send me a reply back. Now there's no way I can get tired. I'm going to be on adrenaline the rest of the day. I'm wondering if I'll even be able to go to sleep when I get home now. I am just absolutely amazed. God has saved me from having to give consideration to any other woman. I don't have to have any of these temptations. I don't have to worry about other women contacting me. I don't have to. This is so, oh, Father, thank you. A million thank yous. How incredible. All this faith, all this craziness, and this wonderful woman is going to give me the honor of considering this prayerfully before God, and is clearly already showing me that apparently God's been doing something in her heart all week already. Wow. Absolute wow. This is just, man. Oh my God in heaven, thank you, Lord. All right, I'm going to shut up now. Wow.
So it's April 21st, 2021. It's 7:38 p.m. I have been driving since, I think I left their house this morning at 4:30 a.m. It's now 7:39, almost 8 p.m. And I still have 2 hours left to drive. Oh, man. I have 100 miles left to go. I've gone 791 miles, and when I just looked at it, it was 791.2. There's that 912 again. Today will very likely turn out to be one of the most just wonderful days of my life. Another one of those incredible, wonderful days with everything that's happened, with God giving me all these promises about Lisa, and then she seems to have been pretty open so far to, you know, talking more about this and praying more about this. And I am very excited. I sent her a message and thanking her for, you know, honoring me about this, and just so, I'm so blessed. I really am just so, I feel so excited. I'm amazed about this. I've sent a few journal entries about some of the providence I've seen today to Jared and Kristen. And then I gave them, you know, a quick read of her reply to let them know what's going on and how she's responded. And they just contacted me about 30 minutes ago, and they were just totally amazed. They were, you know, laughing and praising God, and they got all kinds of confirmations on their end as well. I mean, it's just incredible, because they, you know, who wouldn't be skeptical about, you know, something like this? I said, yeah. And I said, now you guys see that I wasn't quite as crazy this weekend as you thought I was. That this, there really is, they're laughing, because of course they believe me, but it is really difficult to believe when God does something like this. I mean, it's incredible. So I'm starting to get tired. The sun is going down. I really have that road buzz where you've been hearing the road noise all day, and just so I'm making it purely on adrenaline. I only got 5 hours and maybe 20 minutes of sleep last night. And I noticed about 30 minutes ago, maybe, I don't know, it's probably, let's say it 45 minutes to an hour ago, I've been going all these back ways. It was a really bad mistake to come this way, but I've been going all these back roads, and I came up to a train. I had to stop where there was this long cargo train going across. As it's going across, all the cars are numbered. And it just so happens that, you know, I'm sitting there and I see the 1666, and then I notice like train after train, like maybe five or six of them, they all end numbered in 666. So I see this and I go, okay, Lord, I'm thankful for this. Thank you for this, because this is the way it always works. I would be, I think, surprised if it didn't happen. I'd be delighted if it didn't happen, but I think I'd be surprised if Satan's not already scheming to try to bring some doubt or some darkness or some, you know, smut onto this joyous day. And I started praying for Lisa, that I imagine her mind might be under attack. And I thought, oh goodness, I need to take down, you know, the rest of the messages about I will come forth as gold. I don't need to put any more up. And I think this is something that she and I need to talk about. But I started wondering, I'm like, you know, what is Satan going to be doing to work on her mind to try to create doubt and confusion and frustration and, you know, fear and all that stuff. And I started praying, like, God, you know, you said, and I know you'll take care of all this. And I reminded him that he made a promise to me that never again will he allow Satan to touch my life in such a way that everything is brought into death again. So I see this as, quite honestly, a very good thing, because Satan doesn't attack anything that the seed of God is not in. But if the seed of God is in it, Satan will attack it. So since this isn't my first rodeo with Satan, I would imagine that poor Lisa is going to have to do some battle on her own. And I have no doubt that God will allow this, because it's going to be that, it'll be something that strengthens her, and it'll be something that allows her to have, if you will, some skin in the game. There has to be a cost. You know, it's like David says, look, I'm not going to go into this, you know, in this offering to the Lord and give him anything that doesn't cost me something, when the man offers to give him his field for free. So I have no doubt that this is not going to be free for Lisa, and it's not going to be free for me. And since I'm going to be the stronger of the two, I have no doubt he's going to go after her. So I'm going to start just praying up, and covering my sweet Lisa every single day in the armor of God and the prayers. I'm going to ask Jared and Kristen to also be praying for her, as she's alone, you know, with just her daughter, and she's working during the day. And I have no doubt that Satan is going to come with some horrible flaming arrows. I will be shocked if he doesn't. Again, I'd be delighted if the Lord was pleased to allow me to have a break after all that I've been through. I'm like, Lord, is it possible that I could catch a break on this? Just maybe, you know, Lord. So, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think there's going to have to be a battle. And again, that'll show that God is in this. That this is, I mean, I already know he's in it, which means Satan hates it. And I don't think he's going to give me a break. So I'm going to really, really, really pray. Just keep praying every day. I feel bad for her, because she's already been in the wilderness so long, but she's going to have to be reminded that she's going to have to fight some enemies, some battles, really just in her head, in her heart, to get into this promised land that God seems to have opened up for us. I am so excited. Jared and Kristen were just beside themselves. They were so, I mean, I haven't heard them that excited in a long time. They were just so overwhelmingly excited, like, yes, God is doing this. This is amazing. And they're very thankful. They're like, brother, I mean, like, this is pretty much like you're getting married. And they were joking. They're like, the way this sounds like it's going, you'll be married before you get to Alabama. I mean, and it was just, I said, I know, isn't it wonderful? I mean, the Lord really did this very quick to say, this is what I have for you. I don't know how long it'll take for us to actually step into it. I would imagine 6 months to a year. which, when it's all said and done, will seem like nothing. But I'm really looking forward to seeing her and hearing her heart, not just in a very short email, but hearing her heart on the Skype call and finding out, you know, what her level of excitement is about this and what her story has been that she's had this past week. And also to find out what, you know, her concerns and fears are and her desires and all that, and so that we can begin to address these. And I have some of my own when we start, you know, really getting down to the rubber meets the root of this. But I have just a peace. I mean, I'm so thankful. I don't have any fears right now. I know, and I just need to cover her in prayer. But I know that God will help her get through it. But it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. She's going to have to definitely know, and I'm going to need to, I should have let her know already, but I didn't want to be so presumptuous about this until after I really kind of know that this is something she's seriously giving consideration to. So I am in a definitely a, this surreal place where, like, is this really? Okay, so the recording actually cut off somehow. I guess if I take off Bluetooth, maybe that'll help it to where it won't do that. So yeah, this whole thing is just completely surreal. And I just love this experience where it, God, what God does is so good that you have a hard time actually processing it. It's like seeing a miracle. Like, you're like, wow, this is just amazing. And you cannot make logical sense out of it. And so your brain is just put into this like, huh? So this is what it's feeling like. And I've also asked the Lord for wisdom. 818. Oh my goodness. 801.8 when I look down. And we consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory which will be revealed in us. And I am so excited. I mean, I just know that Lisa and I are going to be so happily married, as if we've never been married before, and it will be the sweetest of all experiences, and that we will go to the graves in love with each other, married, happily married, in the blessing and grace of God. I just know it. And I am so thankful. If God had to do all of this to me to get me ready for the final, you know, blessing he has for me in this. And, you know, I was actually thinking about something that the Bible talks about Abraham, figuratively speaking, receiving Isaac back from the dead, because Isaac didn't literally die. And I feel like I am receiving back from the dead the desires of my heart for the marriage that I have always hoped to have and the wife that I've always longed to have. I really believe, even though I don't even know Lisa at this point, I have enough confidence in God's doing this to know that I believe that God is actually giving resurrection life to the godly image of a marriage which I have so desired for all my adult life. And so I'm just so excited about being able to, I'm so excited about being able to be a blessing to Lisa and to her daughter. I've seen myself laughing with them and, you know, being their family. And I'm just like, wow, this is so incredible. I mean, it's just incredible. So, God willing, this is really going to be a huge, huge blessing. So, I'm trying to take advantage of, while I'm getting super tired making this recording, to try to keep me awake and just capture also the rest. The numbers have just, all day long, it's just been one amazing confirmation after another with the 212s, the 117s, the 171s, the 128s. You know, there was an 818, and I can't even remember the rest of them, but it's all been, you know, God is going to do this. He has done this. I told you I was going to bless you. 455 arranged and secured in every part. And the 912, bless you double. And so this, I'm so thankful to know that all the suffering I've been going through for so many years, and that God is going to now do this extraordinary thing where he gives me a godly wife. Oh my goodness gracious, I could talk about this forever. So I'm going to end the recording here and just go back into prayer. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So it's April 22nd, 2021. It's 8:45 in the morning. As it turns out, even though I warned Lisa in a message last night about me seeing the 666s, and I immediately thought of her, turns out they were definitely for me. You know, of all the places I stop in the middle of nowhere, and this train is blocking the road, and the cars are just coming by, and there had to be at least half a dozen 666s just flashing one car after another in front of me. So I started praying for Lisa, thinking that it would be for her, but it turns out, again, it's most likely, it may be both. Unfortunately, she started texting me last night, and internationally, I figured for sure she would incur some rates, so I told her to switch over to WhatsApp. We switch over to WhatsApp, and I replied to her first text, and then I look up and notice that because I don't use WhatsApp, that the picture from 5 years ago, my profile picture, was still in there, which was a picture from the wedding day of Persis and I. And I just felt horrible. I said, oh God, please Lord, this is horrible. It just felt so yucky. And I think it felt even worse to me because I was just so tired. And apparently it didn't bother Lisa as much as it bothered me for Lisa. So I was thankful for that. But she kind of is a little bit more reserved in her communication, you know, because she does not do texting and stuff so easily. And I had mentioned to her about us doing a phone call, and she didn't reply to it. And then she didn't reply to our having this big talk that she would like to have. And, you know, that started the engines going, you know, just the thoughts. And again, I was so tired. It always happens when I'm so tired. I mean, it's just incredible how it's like, oh. So I was in that car for 17 hours straight, stopping only to get gas, and you can't even eat anywhere, sit down and eat anywhere on the way. You have to just get drive-through and go. So I literally was in my car for 17 hours straight. Oh, thank the Lord God Almighty for his grace. He got me home safe, and it was not as bad as I thought it was going to be. So I'm so thankful. And turns out this communication with Lisa and the big things that God is moving me in that direction really helped me to stay vibrant and awake, because I only had 5 hours of sleep. So not only am I in the car for 17 hours, but it was a 5 hour sleep night before, maybe 5 hours, 15 minutes. So I go to bed last night, just a little, you know, kind of, I don't know what the word would be, not disappointed, but I guess I had hoped that I would at least get the chance to speak to her. And then she had gotten busy with her daughter and her daughter's sister, like half-sister. And so she didn't reply to me. And so then it felt a little off. Like that whole evening, I was like, oh man, this really messed her up seeing that picture. And of course, I didn't mean it. I mean, my goodness gracious, I don't even use WhatsApp, I think, for Gary Barton. And honestly, you know, not even any communication with Persis except to reply about the divorce papers like 6-8 months ago, you know, whenever it was she sent them to me again. So I don't use WhatsApp. I used to use it with Isabella in Texas, Jared and Kristen's friend, who I just saw the day before yesterday, but we don't even WhatsApp anymore. So just had that little bitty kind of just uneasy feeling you know, after all that, and was, I could feel the doubts starting to come in. And this is when the doubts started coming in, you know, oh man, you messed up. She's really going to have cold feet about this. She's not going to want to talk to you about this anymore. And this is going to be a huge arrow to her heart. And your life is complicated and visible and yucky and scandalous. And oh man, just all the whole, that stuff started coming on me. I was able to go to sleep. I think I got good sleep. I didn't realize it was going to get so cold last night. So I got cold in the middle of the night and I didn't have another blanket and wasn't going to get up and, you know, get one. And so I think I slept okay. And woke up this morning, had some cereal, decided to look through the comments on this video. There's over 100 and some odd comments already. And most of them are just shockingly blessed. I mean, most of them are very, very blessed. It seems to me like there would not have been a more encouraging reply from people if I had said, guess what, guys? God did it. She came back. It seems to me like people were just as encouraged in praising God for my faith, in spite of the fact she didn't come back, than if she did. It's really, to me, I'm like, wow, God, look at this. It's easy to praise God when something comes through. You know, but can you still love him and praise him when it doesn't? And you know what's so interesting to me also is, and I want to get to this point, but I'm going to catch this point first, is that some guy said, Mike, I just want to know, did God really specifically give you a promise that he would restore your marriage? And I found that to be such an interesting question. And I don't know if maybe God is asking him to say that, if God moved on him. I really need to think on that, because on my way to Texas, I was listening to episode 2, 3, or 4, whatever it was, one of the first episodes. And I say, you know, God has not given me a promise that specifically he's going to give me purses back. I mean, I say it with my own words. God has not given me a promise that he's going to give me her back as my wife. I'm hearing that he's going to destroy the wisdom of the wise and that there's going to be a resurrection. He was leading me to that Mark 5:35 passage. So with my own words, I specifically state, you know, God has not given me a promise he's going to give me back Persis as my wife, just that he's going to destroy the wisdom of the wise. Again, if I got that scripture right. I mean, it turns out more and more that it very well could be that I missed that scripture, that 119, that first scripture that was so important. I feel like God would have corrected me, and just as I say that, I think, well, I did find this other scripture in Esther 1:19, where when Queen Vashti refuses to come at the king's command, orders are given to dismiss her and to find somebody more noble to replace her royal position. And it's very possible, my goodness gracious, it's very possible that God never did give me a promise. I kept saying he will deliver you. You know, he's granted you the desire of your heart. He's not withheld the request of your lips. You're not going to be put to shame. A wife of noble character will be your crown. Be faithful to the point of death, and then I will give you the crown of life. Persevere. You've heard of Job's perseverance. I mean, if you just think of all the things, there's a couple of them that are confusing to me. Like, you know, the 118, the idea that while we were apart, God would have his way with her. And I often wonder, did I get that scripture right? So, you know, it is really quite possible that if you look at really what was God saying, that I made some assumptions based upon what my heart's desire was, which was to have my wife come back. And I may have made some assumptions about what these promises meant, that the promises that he'll deliver me, you know, he'll get me through this, et cetera, et cetera, and that there'll be resurrection. Well, of course, I ended up being resurrected. And what if Persis ends up being resurrected, but she ends up being resurrected, you know, down the road and apart from me? So, I mean, this is crazy, but I know. And you know what? Like, if I were to call Jared and Kristen right now and say, guys, I'm having doubts if I made the right decision, which I'm not, but if I did, because of what we all just saw this weekend, they would have to say, no way, Michael, I cannot agree with you on that. We all know God confirmed it for all three of us. Let every matter be established by two or three witnesses that God was indeed wanting you to get out of this and to free you from this, as evidenced also by what's in my heart. So no matter what I was led to believe, God is perfect and sovereign, and he got me to this point where I'm at right now, where I'm standing in this wonderful freedom and grace. And I am so thankful for that. So no matter what, whether it was of my own ignorance or if I heard him correctly and he just didn't answer it altogether, I'm in this place of recognizing a tree by its fruit, Romans 8:28. He has worked all of it together for the good. So then I'm reading these comments, and there was a couple of really sharp ones. I'm still feeling tired this morning a little bit. A couple of sharp ones, you know, a couple of negative ones towards the bottom. And, you know, I thought one of them was pretty hurtful to the heart. Not really, didn't hurt me, but it was like really kind of stung a little bit, you know, like, ah, that stings. The saying that I need to make myself look better. I need to, you know, take care of my appearance so that I'm attractive to another woman. And I thought, wow, I guess basically that lady is saying I'm not attractive. And of course, when I think about how attractive Lisa is on the outside, that's a blow right to a fear. You know, that's intended to make me be afraid. Of course, if she's looking at me entirely for what I look like on the outside, we're dead before we get started. And I'm sure she would agree. But other people don't seem to think I'm, you know, that I'm unattractive. And on the contrary, an email from New Zealand came in. You're looking good, man. So, you know, I guess it's just the beauty or whatever is in the eye of the beholder. But, so, of course, this was a guy. So, I guess it's a different look. So then keep reading, and there's this guy named, I'm not even going to put his name in there, but I've seen him a few times, and he's always taking strikes at me, and he's saying he's doing it in love. He's trying to correct me. So he's actually feels that he's doing this intentionally, which I understand that he's doing it, you know, righteously, but he's coming off as quite self-righteous. He's talking about, you know, a real man works with his hands and, you know, doesn't send a dollar a month alimony or a dollar a month child support, pays more than a dollar a month child support. And so I thought that, and I thought, okay, well, maybe it's just a mistake, you know, that he meant alimony and all that. And but no, he kept kind of taking shots at me. And so I let it go. And then I saw where somebody else had commented somewhere else, and there he was again with the dollar a month child support. And I just thought, oh man, here comes Satan with his he never quits. So I replied back to the guy with the scriptures that says that it is stupid and it is foolish to speak before having all the facts. I think it's like Proverbs 18:13 or something like that. It's to speak before hearing a matter. This is to the shame and foolishness of the one who does, basically. And so I wrote him back and I said, you know, I forgave you the first one as a misstep or misquote or whatever. I said, but now I see you're intentionally saying this in your own self-righteous judgment, and you're doing so without the facts. And I quoted the scripture, and then I blocked the guy because I see he's just always kind of waiting around to say these things. So I saw that. And then, you know, there's obviously the, okay, was this your first wife or your second wife? That's an arrow to the heart to try to make me feel ashamed. You know, it's funny when you look at a guy like me who's been divorced twice now. When you look at a guy who's been divorced, you cannot but immediately associate shame to that. Never mind the fact that it actually has been for noble reasons. I mean, if you really look at why I've been divorced, the first one, my ex-wife has an affair early on into our marriage with our boss, which she seems to have kept some sort of a sick relationship with him going throughout the entirety of our marriage, according to one website where they posted something together. And then when God calls me out of this false, foolish, carnal thinking and wants me to really take him seriously and obey him, well, then she begins to hate me. And so she leaves me as somebody who is a religious nutcase, basically. And so I'm left as an unbeliever by a woman who actually committed adultery against me. And then, you see, with Persis leaving, it's become very clear. You know, if I would have just allowed her to leave the first time, like if she would have just the first time she wanted, I would have missed so many lessons. I mean, God's timing is absolutely perfect in this. It is incredible to see God's timing work. I would have loved to have been free of the pain sooner, but I would have missed all the lessons, all the treasure. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for allowing that to happen. I am very thankful for all these lessons. I am so thankful for... Now, this is what I need to tell people. I need to tell people that there is no regrets about this. I am so thankful for this. And another person said, you know, I knew you were going to be married again. And truthfully, I don't want to judge, but neither of these wives were the right ones for you. And that person speaks without understanding. No, they were the perfect wives for me in the season that I was in that life. You could not have picked anybody better than my ex-wife to break the horse in my heart that loved and ran after the world so much. You couldn't have found somebody better. God did. I mean, it was just incredible when I look back at that and to give me all the pain and suffering. I mean, like a person who says that doesn't have any idea that if it were not for my ex-wife, there would be no relentless heart. That all of that pain and suffering is what resulted in the flowers of heaven growing in my heart. So it's just these foolish things that we say. Once again, we don't understand. I'm guilty too. We don't understand things from God's perspective. He works so very differently. People assume that, oh, the right one for you is the one where you guys get together and there's no challenges, no ironing, sharpening iron, no difficult circumstances, no need to learn to love somebody sacrificially, et cetera, et cetera. And everything's just Pollyanna good. Oh yeah, that's the perfect marriage. That is not what the Bible or 2,000 years of Christian history seems to indicate. So, is that you gone to her, Isabella? Is that you, Izzy? What are you doing, sweet girl? Huh? Oh, no, that's you gone to. What are you doing? Huh? What are you doing, boy? What are you doing going way down there? Yeah, I know. I see you. I see you, crazy boy. We have this cat that he's a wild cat that he shows up and hangs around our house. He was living at our neighbor's house. He's one of our new adoptees, and I named him Gontu. This is an Indian name, which means sore, because he is always beat up. There's another cat in the neighborhood, another wild cat, a beast of a cat that just beats him up. He comes bloodied. I mean, it's just horrible. I mean, it's just terrible. And so I named him Gontu because we don't know what his name is. And he answers to Gontu now. It's really funny. So anyhow, I see these things. And then, you know, you look at what happened with Persis. And now it's like my first wife was used to totally break me free from this world. I was godless. Worse than that, I was a professing Christian for many of those years. And God uses her to really break me free from the world. It's incredible. And then when you look at my second marriage, what you see is a deep refining of Christian character through suffering and sacrificial love. It is absolutely remarkable when I look at this. And people would say, oh, these are not the right wives for you. Oh, God would never want you to be married two times, three times, what have you. And this is wrong thinking. And this is where we don't understand that God's ways indeed are so much higher than our ways are. And for me, this was perfect because this was the desire of my heart. This was the best way for God to touch me, the best way for God to afflict us and shape us and train us and discipline us is in that area of the heart that we have strong desire. That's the area of our life that God will touch. So if yours is a strong desire for finances, financial security, material blessings, you know, the home, the hill, and all that kind of stuff, if that's your big desire, then God is going to touch you there. If your big desire is because you're a mom and your heart is wrapped up in your children, then God is going to touch you there. He's going to find that thing that is so important to you, and that becomes such a valuable tool to get and keep your attention. And so when I look at this, I mean, it's like God is writing a perfect story in my life. And what is the evidence that what I'm saying now is true? A tree is recognized by its fruit. You cannot determine this or judge properly by the circumstances in my life, but you certainly can by what's in my heart. My heart continues to become more and more like Jesus Christ. That means that God is at work in all of the choices, both mine and his, in my life, even when they don't look like good choices. And he's been preparing me. And I'm really pleased with who Jesus Christ has helped me to become through failed marriages. I mean, these things have not served to break me. They've not served to make me bitter. They've not served to close my heart. On the contrary, I mean, this is a miracle. This is a miracle. My heart is already open to somebody else. It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. After all that I've gone through, it should be that this heart has closed down and says, no entree. No trespassing. But my heart has not grown cold. My heart is filled with love, and it's a maturing love. It's a love of Christ. It's a persevering love. More of an agape love. And I am so thankful for that. And here people come and curse it. And they misunderstand it and they misjudge it. And they bring their, what sounds like good arguments to it. But again, I know all I have to do is look in my heart. And I just praise the Lord God Almighty for what he's done. I just praise him for what he's done. Yeah, so then there was another person, a couple of people who said, oh, this is the trial of Abraham. And you know, you're going to have to let her fully go like this before she'll come back. I already did fully let her go. And this is where you're going to pick a scripture and apply what makes sense. You're going, oh, this looks like this piece goes in the puzzle. And then it doesn't. God has already told me to move on. And he's already told me to contact someone else. And he told me to contact them before I had really any perceivable understanding that they might reciprocate and entertain this question with me. So it shows that it wasn't like I romantically found somebody that was interested in me. And so then, oh, I just started to pursue them and said, well, forget versus God did it in a way that would leave me with some dignity. I mean, even now there's this uncertainty because I speak here in this recording. I have no idea if, you know, Lisa is going to be able to reciprocate. I mean, my life is very dramatic. Now, praise to the Lord, it looks like God has given me some really wonderful promises to be able to, first of all, take my life back up so that I'm going to get to end my life in privacy. I don't have to share the private details of my life anymore. Like, for example, this recording will not be shared until I'm dead with anybody that I don't want to personally share it with. Praise God Almighty. Praise God Almighty. Oh, man. And you know something? Today is 4:22. You're about to enter in and possess the good land. Could there be a more appropriate day for me to be standing on? God, thank you. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, my heart is just filled with joy. My God, my heart is just filled with joy. My heart is filled with peace. I'm going to spend a lot more time in prayer, walking here in the field. I'm skipping the prayer mountain this morning just because I'm off my schedule a little bit. And I am going to just continue to trust my Lord to get me through and to get me into what He would have. I mean, I had flaming arrows about, do you have any idea how complicated this is going to be? You're going to have to figure out something for Tyler. You're going to have to sell the tiny house. You're going to have to deal with the fact that your tiny house is sitting on land that you don't own. You know, you're going to have to pay that balance on the child support. You're going to have to, which I'm paying it according to the court order, but I'm going to have to pay the full amount now, which it seems the Lord has always held me back from doing, probably because she would just turn around and use the money to give to an attorney. And now I'm going to have to go through, you know, the visa process again. And, you know, it's going to be not easy. It's not going to be something easy to do. And yet I'm going to have to just trust that the Lord will do this. And it does seem kind of shameful. There are some parts about this I'm like, God, I've already done this before. That's okay. If I have to do this again to get into what God asks me to be in and to do His will and to be blessed of Him in His will, then I'm willing to do it. And I'll have to trust Him that it will be well worth the efforts and the energy. So I am really, really thankful to have this opportunity. And I'm just going to trust the Lord. But, you know, right now, like I'm standing right now in this spot where, honestly, in my mind, if I read into my mind, which I'm not going to, but my mind is saying that Lisa may really be on the fence and being having some, you know, kind of doubts and so forth and so on. And that's the reason why she hasn't responded as much via texting and never replied back about us having our big talk, or she may be wanting to kind of delay out. I really don't know, but I'm having those thoughts. And after seeing all those 666s yesterday, I am not surprised at all about the night I had last night and the morning I've had. So there it is. Now I'm going to go back into prayer. It's 9:42 a.m. now, still on April 22nd. I've just gotten up from my knees in prayer and in the field. I just told the Lord all the weakness I have, and I need grace for today. And I've asked the Lord, you know, again, Lord, if for any reason at all in my vulnerability I've missed somehow or have been royally deceived and led astray, which I do not believe I have at all, then I said, Lord God, please close this door. Close a door in Lisa's heart. If this is not of you in any way, close the door. And Father, if this is you, open that which no other man can shut, and that Lisa can't shut it. I pray, open it. And while I was on my knees, the 666s that I saw yesterday, like six of them, came. And then, of course, now I'm associating them, and the 666s are regarding all this fiery, flaming arrows of doubt, and you're not attractive enough for her, and, you know, the other weird accusations. And then the thoughts that came into my, you know, mind last night about why she's not, you know, responding and hasn't answered the request about, you know, are we going to do a call? And so all those flaming arrows came in, and I then looked back and I said, aha, look at this. This is exactly what happened on the day that I went down there on the 16th, where God is trying to direct me to her, and I see these 666s and I'm having all these doubts. Then 15 minutes into the call, the recording about this to Jared and Kristen, where I sent them the message, Jared had said he had seen 666 twice. So, and we all can see that these 666s are about creating doubt regarding Lisa, trying to put flaming arrows in our heart to stop this, to get in the way of this. And it's so interesting that Lisa had emailed me when I asked her. I said, did you see anything, you know, out of the ordinary or what have you, and this, that, and the other? And in one instance, she had replied that she had just seen a 666. In one of her emails, she replied, I had just seen 666. And so you can see that Satan is clearly coming at this. It's loaded up, coming and going with 666s, and this is a good sign to me. This means, in fact, as I discuss this, this to me only further is more evidence that this really is from the Lord. And that's why Satan is attacking it so much. And at first I misunderstood the first 666s. Just for a second I wondered, is that God telling me that, you know, I'm being tempted out of his will here, that this is not of him? No. And quickly, the Spirit gave me peace. And then there was other numbers that completely contradicted that as a possibility. Because, like, how can you explain that I'm driving down the road with my hands, literally my forearms are resting on the steering wheel. I'm in the leaning forward position. And I'm going, God, I have to see more than just some basic numbers. Father, if you're telling me to move forward with this, you know, contacting Lisa, that you're saying that this is something you're setting up with Lisa, and that you're wanting me to contact her and, you know, move forward with her, God, you have got to make it so clear to me. And literally, as I'm saying that, I look up at this truck that's passing. I'm passing it. It's in the right-hand lane. And across the top of the door, 212. Literally, in the very moment, I'm saying, God, and it's 212. He has granted you the desires of your heart. He has not withheld the request of your lips. And what's so interesting is that I don't even know that Lisa is the desires of my heart at this point. I don't even know enough about her. I'm having to do all of this on faith. I only know her for 2 hours, and it was very platonic. It was just a basic, you know, some of her past history with her family and, you know, stuff like that. It was not anything earth-shattering or revealing. On the contrary, she knows virtually everything there is to know about me. And I think something that's so exciting is that she and I will be able to have a private life together, because God is giving me this opportunity to take my life back up. She and I will, this will be the first, you know, marriage that I get to do privately. It's like you can almost see how the others really were signs. The others really were lessons. I mean, it's incredible when you think about that. The first wife is used to break me free of the world and the lusts of my flesh after the material world, and the horse in my heart that wants to be champion and all that, and all those things that come with that, all the pride, the unbelief. And then God uses Persis in this extraordinary way to show, this is from me. I'm in this. There's no doubt that you can say that this isn't from the Lord. And you see that she's used for refining deeper Christ-like character, deeper faith, more sacrificial love, all kinds of things like that. It's just incredible. And so these are all lessons that all of us need. And now, as I'm getting ready to walk into this, like, quote, second half of my life, it's clear God is giving me the opportunity to make it private. So anyhow, I was just thanking God that I see the connection between the 666s and the strikes against, you know, Lisa in my heart. And I'm thankful that the Lord has allowed me to make that connection, for sure.